Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, it's 2014. For a few more days anyway, do you know what the best apps are? We'll tell you.
Plus, Apple wants you to be more social. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell you how to send the best invitations to your New Year's Eve party.
All that and be the best DJ ever at your New Year's Eve party on iPad Today.
iPad Today is on the air, our last show of 2014.
I feel like we haven't done this in a million years because it has been a couple of weeks. Although we had pre-recorded a show that hopefully you watched last week, Christmas week, but we weren't physically here.
It's been
here.
Like 2 weeks since we did a show live.
That's right. That might as well be 2 years. I'm like, what do I do? What is this show about?
Since our long-term memories are shot, for us, this is like we've never done this show before. It's very exciting.
Yeah. So
nice to meet you. You are?
I'm Sarah Lane.
Nice to meet you, Sarah. Yeah. I'm Leo Laporte.
It's nice to meet you as well. Are you a French person?
Yeah, I'm French.
Okay. Do you have a French script on your rib?
I do. Okay. I have a little saying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We were talking about tattoos before the show.
I have a Proust.
Something for everybody who doesn't watch our pre-show. You miss out on a lot of... Uh-huh. Yeah. Right, yeah. It says Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. That's French, right?
Yeah,
they told me that was French. You know what I feel sad about is there are people with Chinese tattoos that don't say what they think they say.
That's correct. I think there's probably a Tumblr out there somewhere of... bad translated things.
And I've seen that before where I'll see a picture of somebody's nice new tattoo and then somebody says, that's ungrammatical, or it says, you are a foreign devil, leave my shores.
Yeah.
And so just a word of wisdom, get it translated before you get it tatted.
Yeah. And really think about what you'd like to represent yourself as out in the world.
You didn't think you'd be learning this on the show today, did
No,
you,
see, the show is, iPad Today is, it's a loose term. It's sort of about iPads. No, it actually
is. Mostly it's about what we want to talk about.
Mostly we're just like, let's talk.
But we love the iPad, and we love talking about the iPad. Now, Sarah's got the new fancy iPad that came out this year.
Touch ID, baby.
She's got all the neat things about that.
I will say, I know that, you know,
you sort of... Are you loving
it? You sort of scoff at, like, Touch ID isn't that great. It really is, though. Once you have it, you know, every time I buy an app, you know...
I'm tired of entering my password.
Yeah, it's just a... It's a really nice... Once you have it, you think, ugh, I would never want to go without Touch ID.
And Lisa, who also got the new one, reports that it is a lot faster. She notices how much faster it is. Do you notice?
Yes. In fact, my older iPad, which was the third...
Three.
The first Air, right? Yeah.
No, not the first Air. I don't know. You always have all the new ones.
Because this is the Air 2.
You had the Air 1.
I had the Air 1.
Yeah.
And it has so many apps on it, hundreds and hundreds of apps that, you know, I'm sure that's partly to blame, but it has really slowed to a crawl. In fact, it's very sluggish. It is. So this has been a lovely upgrade. And what's nice is that even though you can, I could restore from an iCloud backup or, you know, some other thing, I decided not to. So I really only have a few pages of apps since October or whatever it was. I think it was actually November that I finally got this iPad. And that is refreshing because there were so many apps that I wasn't using anyway. And if I like them enough, I go into the App Store and I just download them again. You know what I mean?
So there's a lot of people, I would hope, watching us who have their... new iPads in hand, maybe their first iPad in hand.
Yeah.
And so there's tip number one. It's a two-part tip. One, of course, and you probably figured this out, but if you just got your new iPad, you can duplicate the old iPad by backing it up either through the iCloud service, which takes a little longer because it's going over Wi-Fi, or by direct connecting it to your computer and backing it up into iTunes. That's what I usually do. Then when you get your new iPad, you can restore either through iCloud or through iTunes your everything, your settings and everything, the pages, the way it's laid out, your wallpaper. You can restore it from your old iPad. And then it's kind of like you're just transferring the old to new.
Right.
Although, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that it will re-download the apps from the App Store just to make sure you get the latest version.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, it's the same length of time. You got to download it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
But this, the converse of that tip is, especially if you've been using this iPad and you have an old iPad and been using it for years, maybe it's not. Maybe it's time to start over and do what Sarah did, which is just say, you know what? I'm going to start this. It gives you a choice. This is a new iPad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set this up as a new iPad, and I'll go through the little bit of pain reentering my my airport settings, you know, my Wi-Fi settings, and maybe a little bit of pain logging into the various accounts. But what the advantage is, it's fresh.
It's fresh, and it's amazing how many apps. I have a hard time letting go of stuff, and so I think, oh, but now I'm really going to want it. You can always download the app again.
Yep.
iTunes remembers what you've bought. What you've downloaded in the past, and it's sort of like, you know, when you're moving houses and you've got this box of stuff that you never open, it does not exist anywhere but in closets throughout the years, and you think, well, I can't get rid of this, it's very sentimental to me or whatever, but then you do get rid of it and you never think about it again. You just don't miss it because you download a lot of apps that you're just not using.
I kind of recommend doing that anytime you start a new computer, but there is a difference here, and it's something you should be aware of. Your pictures, make sure you back them up first.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because those won't go over.
No.
And your music, unless you pay for iTunes Match. So it's probably worth paying the $25 extra a year for iTunes Match. Because Apple will not let you re-download purchased music unless you have that. So that's, I think, fairly important. They have always said, and I always kind of wonder about this, because with apps you can re-download them.
Mm-hmm.
But music, they've always said, no, you buy it, you download it, it's as if you bought a CD.
Right.
You lose it, it's gone, unless you pay the $25. Now with iTunes Match, that's nice. Then you should wipe it and download just the stuff you want as you need it,
yeah.
I think that
makes perfect sense to me.
Yep.
You know, there's a new...
What would you install? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to...
Well, you know how I like Facebook Messenger? Some of you do not, and I know that, but I like it.
So if you're using Facebook, they made you separate Facebook and Messenger.
Right.
This is one more app.
On mobile. It's still something that you can obviously...
At home, you're fine on the desktop.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people just got really bent out of shape about that. I like Messenger. I use it constantly. It is great for group chats. My cousins and I hung out with them last week for the Christmas holiday, and we're all over the world, and we were, you know, trying to figure out how we were all going to get to the same place and what time everybody's coming and who's bringing the pie and all that stuff. And it's like we talk via Facebook Messenger, and we also send each other a lot of stickers on Facebook Messenger, and you know, it serves a purpose. Maybe it's just my family. I don't know. What's cool about Facebook Messenger is that there's yet another standalone app that Facebook has put out called Stickered, which allows you... I know I just told you guys that I wasn't going to go into portrait mode before the show. So
what?
I can now take...
So your camera's on.
Yeah, so that you can see it's front-facing camera.
A little ucky...
it's a little
sticker on
throw
top
up
of
thing.
You.
Maybe I say, you know, that's
can
not
you
actually
that?
What I want.
Oh, good.
I would prefer to maybe send somebody, you know, a thank you, right?
Put that over your face.
Yeah. Now this.
Can we get rid of that guy?
Yeah, you can get rid of that.
The garbage. Oh, you've been playing with this.
I have.
You have
yeah.
a lot of stickers.
Yeah, because I was playing around with
now,
it.
Now, are these free or do you have to buy sticker packs?
No, they're free.
That's cute.
Yeah. So then you go ahead and, you know, save it.
I imagine they do have paid stickered apps because that's this is a revenue. This is a revenue.
Facebook
thing.
Messenger.
They're all for free.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, there are not that many of them either right now.
Yeah, and I don't see a store.
No.
Yeah.
But it's just a way to basically create... You know, it's funny. I read, I think it was The Verge. They wrote up this app and they said, it's just really bizarre and strange. Why would Facebook do this? But what you're doing is creating stuff that then you would use in Facebook Messenger. That is literally all it does.
It's called Stickered.
Pick as many stickers as you want.
And it doesn't say in-app purchases on there or anything?
No, Facebook doesn't. They don't, you know.
I believe that's
this is
what
not
their
how
plan
gonna.
Is, though, isn't it?
I don't think...
Oh, I know.
What?
So there's two ways you could make money on that. One would be charging people for additional sticker packs. Maybe they're not going to do that. Maybe instead when a movie comes out, let's say The Interview, mm-hmm. you'd get Seth Rogen and James Franco stamps added. So in effect, the stickers will include ads. Or like maybe Coca-Cola will buy a Coca-Cola sticker pack you could download.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen. Who is it? Was it, I think it was Couple, the Couple app, that had, when the movie Endless Love came out.
Uh-huh.
They bought a whole, Endless Love had a whole sticker pack free that promoted the movie Endless Love. And you would use this with your loved one to say, you know, I heart you and all that stuff. And now what's funny is the movie went down without a trace. It was a bomb. But I still have the Endless Love sticker pack, and I can still use it, and it's kind of, it's an anachronistic thing, but I think that might be what they're planning.
Well, remember Path, which we both used to use?
They have paid for stickers.
Uh-huh, and yeah. they, as far as I understand, made a decent amount of money,
yeah.
you know, like Adventure Time, the Adventure Time sticker pack, because right. people like that. Right. Was it a show?
I had a lot of paid stickers.
Yeah, I bought a ton of them, and then I stopped using Path, and so that was some money down the drain. But hey, it was fun for 6 months.
But Path was free, and it was a great free social network.
Yeah.
Still is.
It totally exists still. It's just something that I felt like, I don't know.
Who needs another social network?
Yeah,
not me.
Well, I sort of just stopped feeling like I needed to check, and then I think a lot of other people feel the same way. I'm sure if I opened Path right now, there are a few of my friends still using it, but it really slowed down. Really slowed down.
Baratunde uses it?
Clayton Morris.
Clayton and Natalie Morris use mm-hmm. it?
Yep.
Their parents use it.
Uh-huh. That's true. I know a lot about the Morrises.
Kevin Rose still uses it.
Does he?
I think Kevin feels like he's got to because he and Dave Morin, the founder of Path,
are
buddies.
Friends.
And so it's like Dave says, well, I'll use Tiny, which no one uses, if you use Path, which no one uses. And so what happens is the only people that end up using these apps are the Founders Club.
Right.
You know, another app that kind of did not do as well as we all thought it would in 2014? Secret.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting. The company recently said that they, I don't think they used the word pivot, but that's exactly what they're doing. What did they say they were going
to... Secret was all about posting anonymously.
And it sort of started as like, ooh, this is a place...
A lot of gossip.
Yeah, you could get some, you know, tips on like what company might be, you know, filing for bankruptcy soon or what executive might, you know, get hired by Yahoo or that sort of thing. I mean, in the tech world, there was a lot of that going on. But it was nasty.
Well, it got in trouble as many of these applications like Yik Yak. And there's one called After School that is actually the big one. Who's ever heard of that one?
I've never heard of it.
The kids use it. And all of them are getting in trouble for bullying because it's, as you might imagine, a platform ripe for bullying people. Spreading the kinds of raunchy gossip that high school kids have always spread about one another.
It's horrible.
But doing it in this kind of national, international forum. It's just terrible. Secret also tried for a while to say, oh, you can't use real names because there was such nasty stuff going on. But yeah, I think that what happened is it became, and I think this is the risk with all social networks. It ended up, there's two possibilities. One, to go the Path route, which everybody used to use it and now no one does. So why should I use it?
Yeah.
So it declines, same thing with MySpace, declines very rapidly. Or, and this happens a lot with social networks, it kind of becomes a weedy garden. And the more weeds, the more nasty stuff, the more bad stuff that's there, the more the good people who are adding good content disappear. And pretty soon all you're left with is weeds. And that's kind of where Secret has ended up, as well as these other...
Yeah, I saw it. You know,
Whisper,
there was...
Secret, Yik Yak.
It's just so... Yeah, you know, I read something. It was like a rumor or whatever. And it was... There were no real names were used... But it was based in San Francisco.
So it was obvious.
It felt obvious to me that I knew the people that this person was talking about. And it was like an allegation of like, you know, marital cheating.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I'm out.
I don't want to read it anymore.
I don't want to read. Yeah. Like I just, this is not the kind of place that I want to hang out. I don't get any joy out of this. And that was the end of that. And I think a lot of people felt the same way. It's just, you just feel dirty. It's, you know.
I took it off. I stopped.
Yeah.
And it's kind of for the same reason because... I was addictive.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would read Secret every day, and I felt bad about myself every time I read it. And so finally I said, you know, I'm going to delete this app because I don't want to be kind of had this compulsion to read this bad stuff.
Yeah, and you don't want to encourage people to be those kind of people either.
But you and I agree, don't we, I think, that Instagram is a great social network. The pictures are great.
I love Instagram. Yeah. Instagram is, and on my iPad too, even though to this day.
Still don't Facebook, have an iPad app.
Facebook still won't
Makes
give Instagram
mad.
An iPad app. I don't know what they're doing over there. Hopefully something really cool is in the works. But
they finally have a web page. Remember, you couldn't even do it on the web at first.
Oh, it's been around
about
a year now.
Now you can go to Instagram.com and you can look at your... Yeah.
And you can like and, yeah. and things like that. It's actually also... This is not... This is... Well, anyway. When you're on Instagram...
On the web.
And somebody blocks you.
Yeah.
You know, you go to their profile and it says, no posts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't want you to see your posts.
Yeah.
You can log out on
and
the web
anonymously.
Version. And then go to their profile right. and see it anonymously.
Twitter's the same way, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, the same
that's
way.
Correct. So, you know, just, I don't know. I hope nobody blocked you, but if they did, you could still see the
it's
photos.
Important to remember that anything you post on Instagram, Twitter, and to some degree even Facebook, is public.
Yes.
And so you shouldn't assume that because you've blocked the people you don't want to see it, that they can't see it in other ways. Facebook's a little different. Facebook, you at least can say, this is not a public post. This should be only visible to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, or even a specific list, and you can't control it that way.
You know what's interesting, too, about Facebook, since they opened up the, what do they call it, the knowledge graph, where you can search for things like, not just search for Leo Laporte, which would be your profile, but... Photos Leo Laporte likes.
Right.
Post Leo Laporte has commented on. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, you look up a person, and sometimes you'll see, like, a post made by someone that you don't know, that your friend has commented on. It's like, that post wasn't public to begin with. And I'm like,
somehow
I shouldn't be able
public.
To see this.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the person who posted that. You know,
right.
I'm now in their secret world because I was using the knowledge graph. That doesn't seem like it should work that way.
It shouldn't.
No.
But it does.
Sometimes.
There's actually a Supreme Court case that's going to be ruled on early next year that is very interesting. It's a free speech case. There is a fellow, I don't want to say his name and I won't get into the details of it, but who is harassing his ex-wife. You know, this
uh-huh.
happens all the time.
Yep, yep.
And he was posting horrific stuff on Facebook.
Really bad.
Went to jail. He's in jail right now, but has appealed all the way to the Supreme Court. And what's interesting to me is the Supreme Court has agreed to hear this case, I think on its merits as a free speech case. And the question the Supreme Court is going to answer is, if you post something that is clearly threatening and horrific, which would normally be, if you said it in public or posted in public, cause for arrest and jailing, and this guy is in jail. But if you post it on your own wall on Facebook, where presumably only you can see it and it's somebody who actively follows you could see it,
mm-hmm.
is that protected speech? In other words, if I sit here and I say something to you in private that would be libelous, that's protected speech. So you can't throw you in jail for that. It's only if you say it publicly or, you know, the old standard was you can't shout fire in a crowded theater. So,
right.
This is interesting to me that the Supreme Court's going to review this. And if they should decide that, in fact, stuff you post on your Facebook wall is free speech, is protected First Amendment speech, I think that's going to be very challenging. Now, one thing to understand with the First Amendment is that is in the Bill of Rights, but it merely means the government cannot limit your speech. Facebook is a private enterprise and can always limit your speech. So Facebook could decide, well, we're not going to allow hateful speech even on your own wall. But the federal government couldn't then prosecute you, if this
well,
was decided
but it,
that way.
But,
I
you
think
know,
this
but
is very
then it's the you know it's the question of well was it a public post? I mean,
and that's the question. I don't know if these guys and gals of the Supreme Court are qualified to answer that. I don't know if I am.
Well, and also you know what you're describing the situation is obviously very horrific. But then there's the question of, well, this guy is obviously saying bad things, but does he really understand privacy settings? You know, if you don't understand.
Right.
It's not as if he was like, hey, I was in a crowded theater and I yelled at, you know, maybe he thought
it
was...
It's not quite as clear, is it?
Yeah, it's not. Because you could say, well, I don't know how Facebook works. Privacy settings are really complicated, which sometimes they are.
James is asking in our chat room about Ello.
Oh, Ello.
What happened to Ello?
Nothing. Every once in a while, once a week or so, I feel like somebody will say on Twitter, somebody that I follow, you know, Ello is just awesome. You should really be over there more. I've, you know, met so many cool people on Ello. And then I go to the site, which is supposed to, it was supposed to be a Facebook killer. People talked about it for like 3 days.
The idea was we will never give any information to advertisers.
That's right.
Ello was free, but eventually you would pay for additional features.
Mm-hmm.
And they got quite a bit of investment, venture capital. I'm on Ello, but I very rarely visit it. It's I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea, but I wonder. And I do know people like Thomas Hawk who are really using it.
That, you know what? That's who it was. Thomas Hawk, who's a photographer. He's based in San Francisco. I think he wrote it was a Facebook post or something recently saying, LO is awesome. It's a great place to meet like-minded people like myself, a lot of artistic photographer folks. And I'm sure that's
true. I think all social networks are great until the public gets there.
Yeah.
So we liked Google Plus when nobody was using it. We liked Twitter when nobody was using it. When it was just our crowd, then it was great.
See, I still love Twitter. I know that you've got issues with Twitter, but I'm still a very happy Twitter user.
Well, how do you use it? What is it? And by the way, we both agree if you do have a new iPad, that Tweetbot is the program to use. Now,
that's the one this
weekend,
I like.
This weekend, we had trouble with Tweetbot. Did you have problems?
No, I didn't do a lot of tweeting, though. I was kind of underground a little bit.
So this week, unfortunately, Twitter went down. They said it was some problem with their front-end code. This should really be in the news segment.
Yeah, really.
Since we're mentioning
let's do it. Let's talk about
the Twitter thing. If you have a third-party Twitter client on your iPad, you will have become deauthorized. And if you tried to authorize it up till about 10 o'clock last night, you wouldn't be able to. There was something broken on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So I have been able to. So I can't actually load mentions. See, it's 112 days.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Because I've been deauthorized. So I have to go back in and log in as if it's a new setup.
Yeah.
You see, it says permission denied, invalid or expired token.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, because it turns out that there are only so many tokens, right?
Well, it was a bug, and at first I thought, that's exactly right. You can only get 100,000 tokens if you're a new Twitter client, but you're grandfathered in. So Tweetbot, which a lot of us use, love from Tapbots.
Love it.
If you'd signed up before, you'd still have an account, but can you download it now and get a token from Tweetbot?
I don't think so. I think they ran out. The only thing that you can do is if you have to download Tweetbot from scratch, it'll remember that you were...
Yeah.
You're grandfathered in, so to speak.
So if you are going to use Twitter,
if I'm wrong, let me know.
I hope so.
I don't think you can just go get Tweetbot anymore.
Yeah. I can re-log in and re-authenticate because I had a token before, so it's not going to be a problem. But so you like Twitter because do you read the timeline? What do you use?
Yeah,
do you use it to communicate?
It's funny. Jason Howell and I, actually, right before the show, we were both talking about, did you have a nice Christmas? Did you have a nice weekend? And he said, yeah, I've really been on social networking much. And I said, I didn't either. I tweeted a couple times, but...
It's a nice feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. Everybody needs a little bit of a break, even though I like my Twitter.
Yeah.
But the timeline thing is, you really have to keep at it. It's sort of like... talking about tech news. I mean, you miss a couple of days and all of a sudden, this whole thing crumbles. You can't, there's only so much I'm going to go backwards in time to find out what everyone said over the last 5 hours. If I miss a day or two, there's just no point. Now I'm just tweeting out into the wild and I'm not even paying attention to who's having a conversation with me.
But in general,
I try not to do that. I like to be connected.
You like to read everybody's tweets.
I do. And I feel like I follow a lot of I follow a lot of people who kind of do what we do, a lot of tech writers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about the same stuff that I'm like, oh, I know about that. I know this subject.
It's an inside conversation.
We're all, sharing, our favorite apps or articles and that sort of thing. I also follow some celebrities that I think are funny or
cool.
Do you
look at the @ mentions that have your name in it?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, all of them. Mm-hmm. Because I don't, with Sarah Lane, every once in a while someone means to talk about another Sarah Lane or
but generally there for you.
No, it's not like Ryan Block, who works at Engadget. His Twitter handle is Ryan, which you think is that's pretty baller, and he's like, no, it's horrible. It's a horrible Twitter experience because 90% of people tweeting at me think that they're tweeting to Ryan Seacrest.
Right.
So
that would be no fun.
That's if I couldn't read my @ replies because it was just a mess of people trying to get a hold of someone else, I don't think I'd like Twitter at all. I like to have conversations with strangers in 140 characters or less.
I feel every time I try to maybe you speak Twitter. Because every time I try to read these, I go, okay, and I have to decode them.
Yeah.
There's definitely some of that going on. It's a language that I don't understand.
Yeah. And then you also find, there'll be Twitter speak memes where people start kind of, there are certain ways to construct
a sentence.
Too much
trouble. I just want to see pretty pictures. I go to Instagram.
There you go.
Pretty picture. I understand it. I look at it. I go picture. Nice.
Well, Instagram has its own thing, you know, because people will title with emoji.
I don't read the hashtags. I don't read the text. I don't read the comments.
No?
I just look at a pretty picture.
Well.
It's like a picture book for me.
You are missing out, my friend. Because some of the comments are pretty wacky. They're actually, Instagram does have terrible, the comments are most of the time really, really stupid. But the pictures are nice.
You remember when we first started doing this show?
I do.
Really?
Yeah, it was 4.5 years ago.
There was no Facebook app for iPad.
I know. There wasn't for a while.
For a long time.
In fact, one of our themes, for those of you who've been with us for 4.5 years, one of our early themes was like, alternative Facebook apps. And they were really janky and, you know.
They were terrible.
There was one that was like I don't even remember the name of it, but it had a heart icon on the app. And it was like, that was actually something that was booming business. They'd make you pay 99 cents or something so that you could have the Facebook experience on your iPad as an app rather than mobile Safari.
What would you say is the most used, your most used iPad app? Not iPhone, but iPad app.
Tweetbot.
You love the Tweetbot.
I do. Yeah.
That was another example of there was no iPad app for Twitter for a long time. You had to kind of do an iPhone for a thing.
Right.
And then Tweetbot came out and we all went,
yay.
It's nice.
Well, there was TweetDeck when it was still independent.
Do you do email at all on your iPad? See, I would guess that for most people watching this show, email is their number one app. Maybe Safari, but email.
Well, you know, now that you mention that, Mailbox, which is my email app of choice on my iPhone.
Okay, now let's talk
iPad.
About that. So that's not Apple Mail. You use a third-party app.
Yes, it's a third-party app, Mailbox, which used to be independent, is now owned by Dropbox. And I don't want to open it because, you know.
There's mail in it.
I don't know what it all says.
We did earlier this year with Chad, but I did a rundown of a ton, like Molto, which is a fun app for iPad because it makes the email experience kind of look like Pinterest or something. We did Boxer, which allows you to use Dropbox, Box, mm-hmm. and other sources for attachments. Mm-hmm. But I now use, and it's an iPhone app, and I hope that Google comes along with a iPad version, but Google's Inbox I am just a big fan of. And it works okay, you see, on this. But one of the things it does that's so great, it does preview. So here's a YouTube video. I could play it directly from the preview. And like Mailbox, I know one of the reasons you like Mailbox is this swipe thing, right?
Yeah, and now all the apps do it.
They stole it. We got to give credit.
But that's cool. Whatever. It's a new protocol.
The idea of this is it's a getting things done kind of interface to your mail. You swipe it right, you're going to say, yeah, just put it in my archives. I'm done. You swipe left. I really like this. I can say, put this message away. Take it out of my inbox until a time I specify, including someday, which is a very getting things done concept. Like, I'm not going to do it in the near future. I'm not sure what happens to email if you snooze until someday. And then pick place, which I like. I can actually snooze an email till I get to work. And as soon as I arrive in work, it goes back in my inbox. I think that's a nice feature. I hope that Google says this is not a replacement for our Gmail interface, but is going to be a secondary interface to Gmail that's completely complementary to using the full Gmail interface. And I hope that, and they say we plan to continue to support it and develop it. And I hope that they do. And I hope they make an iPad version because I think this would be really great. Does Mailbox do this where, see, the plus is to compose. And then it looks at who I've sent a lot of messages to.
Uh-huh.
So those are the people that pop up quickly. Jason, I talk to a lot. Lisa, you should be in there. You will soon. Because it kind of pays attention.
You don't read or respond to my emails. That's just...
Well, I can still write a mail to you. I just have to enter the email address by hand.
You know, anyway.
And you can add reminders to it. So I think those are two good choices, actually. Apple's mail that's built in is fine.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
No.
But do be aware there are some other choices.
There are. And I think when I started using Mailbox, the app, which started off as an iPhone app, iPad app came later. In fact, iPad app came after Dropbox bought Mailbox.
Yeah.
But when I first started using it, I was like, oh, the swiping thing and the snooze and the, you know, delete, archive. I love it so much, I'll never use anything else. And now I'm just used to it, even though... even Apple Mail, the iPad and iPhone app now will do Let's say it's
a lot of the same.
It's all the same gesture stuff.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
We just watched history be made.
How about a game? Is there any game that you just can... That changes, doesn't it? Like this year it was that. You still playing dots?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all year. That's been that's the game of the year for you for 2014.
I don't even know if it was 2014. It might have been 2013.
Yeah.
I love dots. I don't know why. I just do.
I love dots.
I know that sounds dumb. It sounds like I'm, you know, like I don't know how to have fun.
I'm going to show you a game.
I don't play a lot of games.
My mom got me on this. Now, I love Quiz Up, and I showed you Quiz Up earlier this year.
I tried to play that with my family on Christmas, and nobody thought it was very cool. I was like, this is really fun,
so
guys.
So it's a quiz game where you each get the same set of questions, mm-hmm. and then one of you beats the other one, and the categories are almost endless. I really like Quiz Up, but maybe a lot of work, so maybe you should show them this. This is Trivia Crack.
Okay.
Aptly named. There is an iPad. This is the iPad version, but it's portrait mode. So I'm playing these games with these people. Let's play my mom. So what happens is you answer questions until you get one wrong, and then the turn is passed to your family or friends. You have, and this is kind of interesting for a game named Trivia Crack, you have three lives. So once you lose three, miss three questions, you can't play again for another period of time, like an hour, and it gets longer and longer eventually, so you can't play the rest of the day.
Mm.
And I think this is how they make money, but you can buy additional turns. So I'm going to play against my mom, and I'll show you. The interface makes this fun. The goal, of course, is to gain – of course, I don't know how you would know this, but is to gain all six stickers. You see, I've got three. She's got none.
Okay.
And they're in category entertainment, history, sports, the arts, geography, and science. And if you get the crown, you can play to get a crown in one of these categories. Let's just spin. We'll see what category I get. Ah, I got the crown. So now I have a choice, and this is kind of fun. I can either try to take away a sticker from my mom.
She doesn't even have any.
In fact, that's what it'll say. You both have to have a character to play.
Uh-huh.
So if she had one, we both answer the same question.
Okay.
In this case, I'm going to try to win a crown, and these are the three that's left. Let's try to win a science crown here. Which of these is not a region of the human brain? The parietal lobe, the gibbous lobe, the temporal lobe, or the frontal lobe? I don't think there's a gibbous lobe. So now I got the science character. And if I get all six before mom does, then I will beat her. So I keep going until I get one wrong. And then it'll be mom's turn. Let's do one more, and then we'll wrap this up. There are, by the way, power-ups. You can get extra time. You have 30 seconds to answer. You can try again. You can say, skip this question. What is the name of the house?
Stonehenge.
Stonehenge. What? You said stone. Anyway, so now, and by the way, these are usually, many of these are submitted by players.
Oh, so you can
And you
then
can say,
oh,
that was terrible. That was fun. You can even say that was wrong.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And now it's going to be mom's turn. We pass the turn to mom, and she's going to get to try and answer some questions. So there's something about playing this.
It's kind of fun.
That's kind of
especially since you can actually, sometimes a game will require both people to be present. Like you don't know what mom's doing
asynchronous.
Right now. Yeah, so
right.
Asynchronous.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy yourself and you don't have to like call her and be like, "Get on Quiz Up."
It's fun. This is the ad-free version, which I think is 99 cents. There is an ad-based version that's absolutely free. And this is called Trivia Crack. Trivia Crack. And people love this game. It's one of those games that's kind of cheesy, frankly. But it is fun. And you know what? My mom adores it. I said, Mom, isn't this hard for you? Because it has a lot. The questions are, and this is true of all of these kinds of games. Some of the questions are great. Some of them are just dumb. Some of them are easy. Some of them are hard. And I say, Mom, a lot of them are pop culture, modern culture that you probably don't know. She said, yeah, but I still love to play it. So,
all right.
There it is. It's called Trivia Crack. You want to do a history question?
I do.
Stonehenge, I think, is the answer. Which president signed the Emancipation? See, that's too easy. Not Jimmy Carter.
John Kennedy.
Yeah. Now, if I get one more section, then I get a chance to play for a character. Geography.
Whoa, okay.
The other thing it'll do is it'll tell you what your worst category is. The 50th state was established, I think, in 1959.
I don't actually know that offhand.
See, some of them are hard.
I might not have gotten that right.
That was Hawaii.
That
and
was
now
Hawaii.
I'm going to see if I can get a crown here. An entertainment. Let's see if we can get entertainment. Who starred in the movie RV?
I've never seen RV.
RV? I think it was Robin Williams.
Okay.
But you know what? That's like obscure. And I know Mom doesn't know that.
Yeah, you just guessed. Kinda.
Yeah, so you get the idea. You can see how you do in each category.
Mm-hmm. And what are you bad at? Nothing, because you're so smart.
There's a few that I'm really bad at, but it varies. There's also another kind of game you can play that's a challenge that's actually really fun. The challenge game. And by the way, you can play against your friends. It has four languages.
Is it using Game Center as friends?
No, we'll use Facebook as your friends. Uh-huh. I'm going to do random. This is a fun one. This is challenge. You end up playing against five or six other people, and then they rank you based on the number of ones you got right. Hard to win because there's always some smarty pants.
Why do we have to wait for?
Well, it's gathering the other people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, trivia crack. $2.99. I'm sorry.
3 inches, 2 inches, one inch.
1 inch. Who created the line production to increase productivity?
What?
Terrible question. Badly written.
Yeah, the line production.
It's not good. What was decided? Roe versus Wade. Woman's right to abortion. Continue.
This is
the saguaro cactus is native to what state? I'm going to say Arizona.
Tucson isn't a state.
What is the newest country in the world? Dr. Congo. Dr. Congo. I wanted to say Dr. Congo, but I'm going to say
South
Myanmar.
Sudan.
No, South Sudan. Everybody knows that. So now I'm gonna get 10 questions, and then whoever gets the most of the 10 right. Fourth Musketeer.
That's my new
D'Artagnan.
Gang name, by the way. Dr. Congo.
Dr. Congo. Clarinet is a woodwind.
You might have met me as Sarah, but I'm
sorry,
actually
I'm in the middle
Dr.
of this game.
Congo.
Can you just continue on?
Now you can't stop.
Which of these sports? See, it is trivia crack. Does not require a ball. It's the only one. Yeah. Okay. Who played Bella? Now, I need help. I need help.
You don't need help. You know all this stuff.
I need help.
You
Who's the director
Twilight.
Of the movie Eyes Wide Shut? Stanley Kubrick. All right. Continue. What is MDMA?
Ecstasy.
It is a drug.
Oh. I was more specific.
Which
than
fish
I
is
to be.
Called Samo Salar in Latin, commonly raised in Norway? And has reddish meat. It's got to be salmon.
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea.
Okay,
so I'm currently...
Oh, this is fun.
11 correct, but we'll see as the others come in. I've never run one. Oh, see? Elise and I are tied. So what'll happen then in 8 minutes is we'll get another question that we'll break the tie. Dr. Congo, ladies and gentlemen.
Dr. Congo, otherwise known as Trivia Crack. That was awesome.
It's kind of addictive.
Oh yeah.
That's my game for the new year.
I love it. That's good. In fact,
it's cheesy, but it's kind of hard to stop.
If you want any of the links to the apps that we have talked about, and you think to yourself, I wish I could remember that Dr. Congo game, wherever would I go to get the information? You can always go to twit.tv/IPT. That is our show archive. 2014 in review was our show last week. If you missed it, if you were offline spending time with your loved ones, whatever, we had a really fun show.
So that was a fun show.
It was a fun show. Yeah.
Now that you mention it.
It was a good time. Look how happy we are. I had multiple iPads on that show just doing a little juggling thing, apparently. Don't even remember doing that because that was a week ago.
Was it
ago.
When you got your new iPad?
I don't know.
We don't even know. 2 weeks, it's gone.
There's just so many iOS devices in our lives. Who can keep track? And a quick reminder that if you, in fact, somebody who was, I will say your name because I think that would be kind of fun. Kat Staten on Twitter tweeted us and said, watching iPad Today live for the first time. Loving it.
I lost.
She tweeted at me.
Cow 5215 won.
If you would like to watch the show live and maybe you're watching it on demand, which is totally cool, we record the show on Mondays right after Leo finishes Triangulation.
And Trivia Crack
at about 12 noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern. Love to have you in whatever capacity you can join us.
Do you have a sad trombone, Brian?
What's sad? What's happening?
I lost.
Oh.
I got 11. Thank you. I got 11 out of 12 right, and it still wasn't good enough because Cow 5215 knew all 12 answers. A little suspicious the cow took 2 minutes to do that.
Yeah, really.
Cow. Yeah, rest of us took a minute. You've been looking up the... He looked up that... I bet you he looked up that Sudan, South Sudan. Bet you he
oh,
looked
you don't
that
think
up.
He knew that?
That's the one I got wrong.
Maybe he's Sudanese.
Maybe.
You never know. That's the fun of it,
I came
it,
this
right?
close to guessing that one because Myanmar has been a while.
But it's relatively new. I could see where if you just were kind of like, yeah, Myanmar, that's right. Used to be Burma. And it was something else before that.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think it was Compton.
Straight out of Burma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Dre.
Originally
from Myanmar.
Has there been, here we are at the end of the year, it's the slowest time of the year for tech news. Has there been anything in the iPad news front?
Interesting that you mentioned that. So last week, and even the week before, really leading up to Christmas, a lot of us were buying things for our loved ones because, hey, what's Christmas without commercialism? And it turns out that as far as mobile spending, which the iPad is part of, iOS really had huge numbers.
Very successful.
Yeah. Nearly quadrupling Android's numbers. Now, again, this is in the U.S.
And that's not sales of iOS. We should be very clear. Because when I first read this headline, I thought, what, they sold better? No.
No.
More people bought stuff on their iPhone and the iPad.
Yes.
Than they bought on
basically,
Android devices by 3-1.
Yeah, shopping online.
Shopping
online. But, you know, shopping online used to be like, okay, let me get the, you know, hit up Amazon and make it, you know.
Did you buy anything on your phone or your iPad? No, me neither.
You know, I'm not much of a gift,
I bought almost everything on Amazon and Etsy.
Yeah.
All my gifts. But I did it on a desktop, and I don't know why. I guess I feel like I like a keyboard.
I think it's just habit, right?
Well, but it's also things like LastPass autofill of my credit card information. Doesn't do that on the iPad.
Why doesn't it? Why wouldn't LastPass do that everywhere? It should sync.
They can't because Apple won't let them.
Oh, that's right. So anyway, it turns out that it doesn't really mean anything about Android. It just means that more people who have iOS devices are...
Spending money
using those iOS devices.
Yeah, I'm not sure what conclusion you'd draw from that.
I don't know. It's some interesting stats. Mobile traffic accounted for more than half, so 57.1% of all online shopping. So that's interesting.
Wow.
That's interesting in and of itself.
Wow.
All online shopping, more than half, was done on mobile this holiday season. That's up almost 19% over the same time last year.
We've been saying the world's going mobile. But boy,
the one thing you might
not expect is shopping quite, but I guess so.
Yeah.
You know, I should warn everybody in my family that I'm constantly looking at what you're doing and making note of it. In fact, I had Henry, my son, who's 20, and three of his college mates were over, and I just quizzed them endlessly on what messenger app do you use? Do you use Twitter? Do you use Facebook? And I'm trying to get an idea of how people in his age group use it, how normal people use it. And I do see one of the things Lisa loves to do is browse Etsy on her iPad. She likes to and I imagine Pinterest too. It's just, you must use that. You look at stuff. And then this is interesting. And I wonder how she would count in this case. She'll put stuff in her cart. Not buy it.
It's a bookmark of sorts.
It's a bookmark.
Yep. Yep. I don't want to forget that I liked this.
And then maybe buy it on her desktop later or send it to me. But that's a way of bookmarking. You put it in your cart.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is that that's how my behavior is on Amazon. Even though I could put together an Amazon wish list, what I do is I just put it in my cart and then I don't buy it. And then I forget that I ever wanted it in the first place. For example, you guys gave the staff the little Amazon gift card. So I was on Amazon the other day thinking like, ooh, what am I going to buy? You know,
not much you can get for $5, but I'm sure you found something.
But it was appreciated
same. A cable.
A roll of toilet paper. Everybody
Anything.
Needs that.
Yeah.
But I noticed in my cart was like, oh, I went through this like, oh, I'm going to be like a gourmet coffee person phase.
Oh.
And so I had all the stuff in my cart that was like a Chemex, special filters.
You bought the whole thing.
I never bought any of that
Smart.
Stuff.
See, but I pressed the buy now thing. Send it now.
Yeah.
That's a mistake. There should be a rule that you have to have it in your cart for 2 weeks before you can buy it. And then if you still want it.
Right.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I would pay Amazon extra for that feature.
Right.
Amazon
myself.
Amazon Unprime.
Right, yes. Amazon, stop me from my shopping addiction of Chemex filtered coffee.
So you didn't buy any of that stuff?
I didn't buy any of that stuff. And honestly, I'm
you
sort of over
it.
It now.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Why.
But it was in my cart.
2 weeks is enough, probably.
I think so. Yeah. It's the impulse. Take away our impulse, and we're going to be a lot smarter.
Which means that Amazon's going to go in the exact opposite direction, make it easier and easier and easier to buy stuff.
Speaking of Apple and the holidays, Flurry, which is actually owned by Yahoo now, but is basically an analytics company, analyze a lot of data, The activations, the most activations for new mobile devices. So we've got Apple, Samsung, Nokia, Sony, and LG rounding out the top five. Mm-hmm. Apple, 51.3% of top device activations based on the manufacturer. Many more Apple device activations, even over Samsung, which makes like so many different devices. That kind of surprised
Now, me. If you add up all the Android devices, it probably would be...
Totally.
It would not be, but it would be equal to maybe?
Maybe it almost says more about the fact that Samsung has kind of gotten diluted
right.
because it used to be such an Android front runner.
It used to be
like Samsung was the right. company, and maybe it still is to a lot of people.
But Apple's still got more than half of all activations.
That's right.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
That's me. That's my daughter calling. She probably wants money. Just ignore that.
Toodaloo. Do you... So you're
Mission Impossible.
Ringtone guy. Okay.
Oh, I'm ringtone guy.
Not only are you ringtone guy, but your phone is waterproof.
It makes me feel like a super spy. I used to have James Bond.
I love the fact that you say, oh, that's my daughter. I'm sure she wants money.
Welcome to the world of parenthood. You will... this is kind of not an attractive case, is it? It's not waterproof because, of course, the front has to be unprotected. But it also adds something really stupid. Which is a kickstand.
Okay.
I don't know why I bought this case.
Me either. Well, okay, sure, I guess. It's a little, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing
with that. This would have benefited from the you can't buy it for 2 weeks feature of it, the new Amazon Unprime.
Mm-hmm. So, the European Union has, they're always mad about something. They have...
I kind of support them. Go ahead.
Yeah, Apple has introduced a 2 weeks, 14-day, no questions asked, refund period.
I love this.
For App Store and iTunes.
Why can't we have that?
I don't know, but I think that's actually... Because the thing which was sort of part of the argument of saying, if you were going to get a new iPad, maybe don't restore it from your old one because you have all these crappy apps, right, that you don't care about or use. I would love... when I download a $7 app that's like, there's still in-app purchases or this is not what I thought it was, I would love to be able to just say, I don't like it.
And 14 days.
I know. You can actually have a lot of fun. Not that, obviously, it's not supposed to be taken advantage of.
Well, that's what Apple's afraid of.
Well, yeah. You think after 14 days, even an app you really like, you might just be like,
that's enough.
Get my money back. Yeah.
That's like that Amazon 2 week thing. Mm-hmm. I'll just take this app for 2 weeks. Now, remember, Google used to do this. They used to have a 24-hour refund period. And I think that even with 24 hours, a lot of people would download, buy a game, download it, play it as hard as they can, and then get the refund.
Mm-hmm.
So they made it 15 minutes. So on Android, you got 15 minutes to change your mind on a
mm-hmm.
purchase. Apple, you got 0 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You buy it, you bought it, it's gone.
Yeah,
unless you're in the EU, and I'm sure this is the EU made Apple do this. It's not something Apple would ever approve of. Now you have 2 weeks to change your mind. I think that's great. What did Apple do instead? They put movies on the App Store. So you could see what a game might be like.
Yeah.
This is why that we have a plethora of Trivia Crack's one of them. Free version, paid version. So that at least you can try it.
You know what's really weird? This has nothing to do with iOS, but can I just get it out? So I went to a movie over the weekend, and one of the trailers before the movie, because there's 100 trailers these days, was for what I thought was the movie Halo. They got actors in there. They're just in a world.
Wanted a movie?
No. I saw what I thought was...
A movie
Halo movie. And I'm talking about Halo the video game. And it's they made a movie.
Yeah.
No, it's a trailer for
it's
the
misleading,
game.
Misleading, isn't it? Yeah.
Which I'm used to those. I understand what those are. But I've never seen that in a theater. I was legitimately confused. And then I was so the guy playing Master Chief is I was in the Halo trailer. Because he's not in the game. Isn't that weird? It's the blurred lines.
I know. It's very blurred. They did that with a game called Destiny, which was on the Xbox One. And it has the best TV ads. And the music is from Led Zeppelin. And they're doing an assault and stuff.
That,
and you go, I want to see that.
The immigrant song?
it looks like Starship Troopers. You say, I want to see that movie. Or I'd like to play that game.
Yeah.
It's nothing like the game. I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the immigrant song.
The immigrant song.
Is that the one where here's to the land of ice and snow? Yeah. It's called the Immigrant Song? That's a terrible
name. It's called the Immigrant Song. I used to always play it at Round Table Pizza on the jukebox.
It's a great song.
Yeah. Well,
you could play it tonight at our host dinner. There's going to be a jukebox.
I am excited.
There it is. Don't you feel like this looks more like a movie?
Yes. Very much so.
This is not what the game is like at all.
See, that's why I'm like, these are just, this is just a, it's like a whole side industry of trailers of things that don't really
exist.
This
isn't even a cutscene. This is made up footage.
Right.
That makes you feel like, gosh, whatever that game is, that's the one or if it's a movie, I'll go see it.
Well, I don't know. Well, I was excited about the Halo movie that
the Immigrant
that,
Song
that
really
was not to be. The Immigrant Song. Yeah, I don't know.
There's some like okay, so I always think of the song, the Who song as Teenage Wasteland, but it's Baba O'Reilly.
What's that mean?
Well, the name of the song is Baba O'Reilly.
It is?
Yes.
What?
But you think it's Teenage Wasteland.
It should be.
So it's just a tip to future rock groups, unless you want to be like The Who or Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, why don't
whatever happened to them?
Yeah, let's get back to a literal life, shall we?
I have a teenage waistband.
You do. I've always thought that. Thank you,
iBookery.
Yeah, you know, what's Leo like?
Teenage waistband.
Teenage waistband is how I would sum him up, really, over any other.
I'm more like Orson Welles' waistband later in life.
Hey, so you know how that movie, the Sony movie, The Interview, was
did you watch it?
I did not.
Mike Elgin rented it in Amira, and then my son went to see it because you can see it in the movie theater here in Petaluma.
Oh, you can.
Yeah. He and his buddies, his eight friends, went to see. Actually, I guess there's seven because there's eight total. Went to see it.
The whole thing, if you haven't been following the story, which is a weird one, is that Sony has been got hacked a few weeks ago, and the people who may or may not be from within North Korea said got to get rid of this movie. Can't have the movie. It shows our leader in a bad light. I don't know.
It was negative, like
making fun of something that we're not going to.
Sony was hacked, and they said, don't show that movie, or we won't
hack you. So theaters, big theaters like AMC and United Artists,
they got scared.
Yeah, they said, we're not going to have the movie
the
open up on
said,
Christmas
no.
Day because, like,
we don't want
people,
a bomb.
People are getting threatened. Exactly. But then a few theaters changed their minds. I think it made $1 million on Christmas Day.
$15 million on the weekend.
And
I'm sorry. I think it's even more now. I think it's $20 million. There's Steve Kovac's article.
Oh, really? That's amazing.
Business Insider. That is not, however...
What?
As much as a big opening would be. It made it the fifth biggest movie of the weekend.
What I think is interesting about it is Apple decided to release it on iTunes.
Right.
It was something that you could watch via iTunes, Google as well. But it's
defamatory, that's the word. Thank
defamatory.
You.
Defamatory. I said deprecated. That's not right.
Defamatory.
Defamatory.
Was it good? Did anybody see it? Was it good?
I heard it was
Amira
stupid.
Loved it. Mike said it was okay.
I heard it was dumb, so I didn't bother.
You know, that's
I don't
an
like
example.
Dumb movies.
When they make a movie trailer, they don't make up scenes in the movie and put them in the trailer.
No.
If you see a movie trailer, those are all scenes from the movie.
Sometimes
right?
too many scenes, and you've seen the whole movie.
Well,
by the
I
time
have a
you
feeling
finish the trailer.
That a movie's like that, that all the best jokes are in the trailer.
Oh, of course.
And since the trailer for The Interview was horrible.
You feel like they're
like
not
that's
holding
the best
back.
They can do.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna go see
it's
it.
It's not good. I do think though, even though this is such a weird case, that somehow it's like this is going to be some cusp of the way that the movie industry changes.
I don't think so.
You don't? You
a
think
couple
that this
of things.
Was a fluke and
a couple of things. First of all, it's a $40 million movie.
Mm.
So
they're not recouping their costs here.
Remember, you're also not include $15 million does not include the cut that Apple takes. Or
that's
the Google
true.
Takes.
Yeah.
So they maybe made $10
million. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go down from there. It's not going to go up. That's going to be the highest amount. I don't think that this will somehow be a watershed moment in the movie industry. And they'll say, gosh, we can release these digitally instead of in the theaters. I think they believe, that, and we will never know, that they would have made more in the theaters. They were going to release it on 3,000 screens.
Yeah.
So I bet you they would have made more.
And Christmas is usually a big day because people right. hate their families
what
and
are you
want
gonna
to
go
get
see?
Away.
You got Annie. Mm. You got, what was the other Christmas movie? It was that Unbroken, the Angelina Jolie.
No, thank you.
No, that's grim.
Yeah.
Or The Interview. Ha, ha, ha. Fun,
right,
fun.
Right, right, right.
kill a dictator.
What I will say is that if you were considering seeing the movie The Gambler starring Mark Wahlberg, please reconsider.
Bad movie?
Oh, so bad. So bad.
I was considering that.
Don't consider it.
Is it Clint Eastwood directed that?
No.
No.
It can't
What's the Clint Eastwood movie this year?
It's not The Gambler. There's no way Clint Eastwood
Does he sing? You got to know when to hold him.
No.
No,
it's not even about gambling. That's the thing.
No. Sniper. That's the Clint Eastwood movie. Is that good? How about Into the Woods? Was that good? Was there singing in Into the Woods? Here's an example. Okay. I found an example of a movie trailer that lies. They don't want to tell you that Into the Woods is a musical.
It is?
It has to be. It's from the Stephen Sondheim musical Into the Woods.
What am I thinking of? I thought Into the Woods was a horror movie.
Well, it looks, if you saw the trailer, there's no singing.
Out of the Woods? Into the Woods?
Into the Woods. Oh, you're thinking Little House in the Woods.
No, I'm thinking of it. There was a cabin in the woods.
Little cabin in the woods.
Never mind. Okay, so I thought Into the Woods was going to be scary, so I didn't want to see it.
Into the Woods is a Stephen Sondheim musical, but the trailer, you would never know it's a musical. And
really?
I think that's a mistake, because you get there and you go, oh, Meryl Streep.
You
it's
need
be
to
acting.
I'm not against musicals, but you really need to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Because it's super annoying when people, you're like, oh, I'm breaking out into song again. I didn't know I was going to be doing this for 3 hours.
I think you should tell people it's a musical.
You better.
Don't hide that.
Don't hide that.
Annie
no.
is not a musical. It's just about some orphans.
No, Annie's a.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The sun will come out.
Tomorrow. I actually loved that movie.
I loved Cabin in the Woods.
I didn't see it because I heard it was scary.
The new Annie is not the same as the old Annie. The songs are the same. Actually, it is exactly the same as the old Annie.
Well, it's set in
a
different
cast.
Place. Yeah, right? It's like a Manhattan version of it or something like that. I don't know. Whatever. You know, it all ends up okay for Annie if you're worried. Sorry for the spoiler. So Apple...
It's a hard knock life for us.
Apple has expanded its social presence with a new Tumblr blog. Woo!
Really? Apple is having has a Yahoo blog?
Yeah. Well, Tumblr, which is owned by Yahoo. Yeah. If you
they have a very iTunes has an active
on
Twitter
the
account.
Tumblr blog. There you go, Brian. It's actually, I think, it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's because Tumblr, obviously, there are.
Tumblr's
no
a great
end
platform.
To the kinds of templates that you can choose.
I love it. And see, they have animated GIFs.
They've
they're
got
really
GIFs that's
hip.
Very hot on iTunes,
yeah.
right?
There's Colbert.
So
Bryan Cranston. What is that picture of Bryan Cranston?
It looks like it's Bryan Cranston who's made of...
paper.
Maybe.
Now, so this is... What is this? Is this...
It's basically awareness about what is available on iTunes.
I see.
You know what I mean? Whether it is... Yeah, this is sort of like their commemorative thing
so
for the
Tumblr
year.
So Tumblr lets them put video on there. Because a lot of Tumblr people complain you cannot put video on your Tumblr.
What? They don't know what they're... Well, that's a widget of some kind that's probably part of this template specifically.
Okay.
I see video on Tumblr all the time.
Yeah, okay.
They're
good.
Nuts. Yeah, but I don't know. I think, you know, when I say social, it's...
This is smart. I'm going to subscribe. I'm going to follow this.
Yeah, I honestly think that... it is really smart for not just Apple, but a variety of companies.
I should add...
Why not take advantage of Tumblr, which is big, especially with the younger set?
I should add Tumblr to my social media that I still like.
I don't really use Tumblr all that much
anymore.
Because
there's a lot of pictures, too.
But it's not because I don't like it.
Tumblr's like Twitter. You have to cultivate. You have to follow.
It's all about who
cultivate
you're following.
Your stream.
Yeah, exactly. There are certain people that I follow on Tumblr. It's like, they'll... post something and they get like 18,000 hearts and it's like
amazing, isn't it?
They don't even really have a present. Yeah, it's a whole different world. It's a different world from where you come from. So a couple of weeks ago, somebody had written in who's a photographer, or maybe he sent us a video, I don't remember, and he was explaining that he wanted to see when he was out taking photos immediately use the iPad as a monitor to see what he had taken photos of. And we were sort of like, there's probably some, you know, there's some options out there. So Dan Light, which is it's a great name if you're a photographer.
Yeah.
He wrote in and said, it was asked on your 2014 in review show, so that was last week, if there was a way to see photos instantly on an iPad. I've been using an iFi SD card that connects to your iPhone or iPad via Wi-Fi and shows them instantly. Hope this helps. So what it is a combination of an app the iFi app that you would have on your iPad, and then the iFi SD card, which I think I looked it up earlier. It's not really that expensive. It is.
They're not, and you find that they're not the fastest, bestest SD cards out there. At least the last ones I've seen. So I use. You know, it's so funny because this is something we used years ago.
Mm-hmm.
iFi was really cool when it first came out. The idea that you could take an SD card, put it in your camera, and it would have built-in Wi-Fi. It would add Wi-Fi to your camera's capabilities. Let's see what they how they've improved their cards now. Because the last I used were...
You were not happy with
it? Well, they were... You know, it depends. Clunky. If you want the best SD cards, you're not going to probably use iFis. But let's look at the Pro X2, see how fast it is. What is the rating on this? Yeah, well, see, they're not telling us here. I'll have to look and see. I don't know if they're... For instance, my cameras, I need a... U10.
Okay.
A very, very fast SD card. So these are 10, but what is the what is the throughput? See, this is the
you
other
know,
thing.
You know, Dan, who wrote in, seems to like his quite well, although I am looking in our chat room, and you're hearing things like they fail a lot.
Yeah, I've never...
You don't end up using them or finding them to be all
them.
That, you know, helpful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All right.
Yeah,
just passing along.
It's an interesting idea.
Your heart's in the right place.
I think they're great. And if you have a point and shoot or a camera that doesn't need absolutely the fastest throughput, I think that's fine. They're a little expensive too. It's $100 for a 32 gig card. The Pro X2 is $100 for the 16, and you're going to probably want the Pro card.
Hmm.
Yeah, it looks like they have not speeded these up since I used them last.
$100.
Yeah.
Hey, so we love to hear from you. There are so many emails that I got over our sort of down week here at Twit that came to the I've Had Today inbox.
The inbox was working even while we weren't.
Yeah, that's so cool how, you know, Gmail, which is how that's how I collect your emails. It just stays up all the time, never goes down. But we will have more emails, voicemails, of course. We will take happily as we will with videos. If you want to write us, it's iPadToday@twit.tv. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, perhaps you're just more of a talker than a writer, that's cool. 757-504-IPAD is the phone number to leave us a message on. 30 seconds or less is the magic number. And, of course, you can always upload a video, upload it to YouTube or Vimeo or, I don't know, point us to your Tumblr blog if you've got video on there, too. And send us the link, and we'd love to feature you in a future show. Well, Leo, guess what time it is now?
All right, I'm going to strap it on.
I'm going to strap mine on, too.
I don't know. I think somebody's trying to humiliate us.
No. This is real nice. You know what this is?
Shark Week.
It keeps you from getting sunburned.
Oh.
You know?
So this is app cap time.
And it's a flotation device as well.
It's like your head would float. It's made out of foam.
God, I look dumb. Because it's made of foam.
You've got a Tyrannosaurus Rex on your head. And I have a shark on my head. We wear these silly caps to denote our favorite app of the week.
Correct. Now, this app, and almost always our app caps, which are actually apps that go with the hats, are new. They never existed before. However, I was thinking, okay, well, what's something cool that a lot of people might be doing this week? And that is New Year's Eve parties.
Yay!
New Year's Eve can be so lame. It can be like such amateur hour, you know, if you go to a big party, whatever.
Not our New Year's Eve.
No, our New Year's Eve is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you guys know about what we're doing on New Year's Eve, right?
24 hours,
24
man.
Hours of Twit. And we're not even going to be, well, we will definitely be humiliating ourselves, but in different ways
are
than
you?
Normal.
Well,
yes.
You're going to be here early, right? You're starting like in the early morning.
Well, I've sort of started to reconsider the early morning slot. I'm like, why does Steve Gibson want to eat breakfast at 6?
Last year, Steve did coffee, and he was the first, I think the first guest. We start at 3 in the morning Pacific time, 1100 UTC, because that's when that's when 2015 starts. We start when 2015 starts. New Zealand is the first place to celebrate, and so we'll be here for the countdown in New Zealand. We have somebody in New Zealand who'll be on Skype with us.
Beautiful.
So that's 3 a.m. I actually probably get here at 2:30 a.m. Pacific, and we'll get started and be ready for the very first. This year is something different. We're going to do 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Every time zone, we're going to count down the new year in every time zone, which is 27 time zones in 24 hours, from 3 a.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific time, New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. This year, we're going to do it all for charity. We're going to raise money for UNICEF. We've already got $1,500 in UNICEF donations from people who somehow found our page.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. We're going to start off with $1,500. We've got almost all of our sponsors are donating. We're going to have auctions. We have many, over 60 auction items. It's going to be a lot of fun. And lots of entertainment, including Sarah Lane doing a Coochie Coochie.
I don't know what that means,
what is
but
that?
I don't want it.
There it is. There's the website. That's how they know about it. We've got fezzes. We've got twit mugs.
All sorts of good stuff. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of us. Were, you know, Leo is going to be here the whole time. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with
2:30.
You, but I am not.
Steve
going
will be there
be
at 6 a.m. He made coffee for us last year. Now he's going to do breakfast. Is that what it is? See, I don't know.
Well, I've said that I would
what
like
would you like to do?
I just don't want to get up at 6.
You don't. Because you'd have to get up early to get here by 6.
I would have to get up at like 4.
Yeah.
And that's
so
just
don't.
Criminal.
Come at noon. It's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
I mean, you want me to have fun, right? Anyway, so New Year's Eve party. At your New Year's Eve party, whatever you are doing, maybe you're hosting a huge party.
Yes.
Maybe you don't like parties.
Maybe you don't.
That's all perfectly fine.
Who cares?
However, there is an app called Pacemaker, which is a DJ app.
You can get rid of the monster transition.
Yeah, really, Brian.
It's the only chance I've ever had to use it. Sarah's T-Rex.
Oh, because it matches Sarah's hat.
I see. Got it. Sometimes Brian.
Get
oh,
it.
Look, my hat. Sometimes Brian is almost too highbrow with his transitions. That we don't
get it.
We don't get it. What are you doing?
What?
Okay, so this is Pacemaker, and it has nothing to do with hearts. It actually has to do with music. Looks like two turntables, right? Now, historically, I'm very, very bad at anything audio on the show. But Pacemaker is not that complicated. And what it allows you to do is be a pretty cool DJ with no skill at all. Now, being a DJ could, you know, be like mixing two songs together or that sort of thing. Or it could just be like having a playlist that is playing and you know, you've got a bunch of songs in succession and you don't really have to think about it. Okay, so I've already loaded up two tracks. The first one is a track called Mogadishu. So we'll go ahead and play that. Can we hear it?
Yeah, I hear it.
You do? Boom, oh, there we go. Okay, yeah, so this is just instrumental, right? There aren't any vocals. I thought, okay, well, this is a perfect excuse to then fire up another track called Smile over on this side. And I'm going to play them together, right? Okay, so now I'm playing these together. Turn down this a little bit. Now, the thing about this is that they are not the same BPM, right? Beats per minute. So
oh,
then,
you're doing that DJ
so it starts
talk.
To,
I love that.
I know, isn't that great? So then you say, well, I don't know, it's starting to like feel a little discordant. So you go ahead and say sync, and then it will correct itself. So now they actually sound like they were meant to be played together. And look, it's regulated at 122 BPMs, right?
Yeah.
And actually, like if you turn this off for a second, oh yeah, right, okay. Like they sound really good together. They actually sound like they belong together. Now, of course, you could say, all right, well, this is cool. What else can I do, you know? There's some effects. You can mess with your bass or your gain. You can... you know, add, so, you know, there's some in-app purchases here that allow you to do stuff like this is the high-low filter to maybe like cancel out low frequencies, that kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. Now you can of course have a little fun, play around here.
Are you gonna do this for your New Year's party?
Well, nobody's invited me to one yet, so maybe. No, I'm just kidding. So let's say you're like, okay, well, this is fine. I'm having a good time, but this is kind of too much work. I don't want to be in front of my iPad all night. Then you've got something called Autopilot. And so what this will do then is just like, okay, we're just going to put something together for you, DJ. You just go ahead and walk away, serve your friend some, you know, punch and pie, and we're just going to go ahead and play this stuff for you. And it looks cool, too. You can see, oh, okay, this is kind of neat. These two songs that I'm playing at the time, you can see what's on deck, right? You can add something in there from your collection, which, by the way, will pull from iTunes or Spotify. So that's kind of interesting. You can save certain mixes. I have not saved any, so you're not going to find any on here, but I could. Now, if you go back to
I think you should do this on the Twit party.
You think so?
Yeah, I should DJ, and I'll dance.
What? No, if you... And if there's ever something that, like, you're, like, really proud of, you can record. I think you're doing a T-Rex dance more than a shark dance.
I am.
Okay.
Shark dances.
That's in my honor. There you go. There you go. So you could record a session and be like, that was awesome. I was so good. You know, that kind of thing. That's it. I mean, that's
honestly, that's all?
That's what
just,
it does.
That's it.
Yeah. I love it. I think that this is a really, I don't know, I enjoy stuff like this. Okay, we'll go ahead and do
that.
You
too. You have a passion. I think you should have been a DJ.
I have a passion for DJing. No talent, mind you, but a passion nonetheless. And I think that Pacemaker DJ is the perfect app for somebody who feels the same way as me.
On the notes that we were going to do Pacemaker, I thought it would be something to keep my heart going.
That's right. Right. But you would be wrong.
Well, it is, I guess, if I dance.
True.
Then I'll need a pacemaker.
It makes
probably
your
a defibrillator
pace for you. And it's free, by the way. So again,
whoa, see, Tractor DJ and the other high-end stuff,
they're
those
more
are
like
more,
$10, yeah. Yes, or even maybe more than that.
So you could practice with this.
Again, if you've got stuff in your iTunes library, and by the way, not everything on iTunes will work. I was getting like DRM.
So that's DRM. Yeah. That's not going to work.
Yeah, that's not going to work. And again, if you're a Spotify user,
like the price.
Which I'm not really, but I have an account. Yeah, it's free.
Like
it's
the price.
I think it's just kind of fun. If nothing else but to sync two songs together and watch yourself make magic, I think that's kind of fun.
Or whatever that was. Didn't seem like magic exactly.
Well,
yeah, that was magical.
Let's just say I wouldn't know how to manually do that.
No, you wouldn't.
Maybe it's not magical.
It's magical.
But it's sort of interesting.
So this time of year, there's a couple of things that people do a lot of. A, thank you notes, kids. Thank you notes for all the gifts you got for Hanukkah and Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And B, perhaps send an invitations to your New Year's Eve party.
Yes.
And this
how
is,
are they going to know to come if you don't send out an
don't
invitation?
Invite them. So this is the app that so many people have told me is the app if you're going to do invitations. It's called Paperless Post, and they have gorgeous invitations. Now, what's kind of cool about this is you can either do online invitations, and I sent you one online.
You did.
Or you can order paper cards. Now, they won't mail them for you. I was really hoping they would, because that would be great if I could just send them my list. But they send you the cards, and they have very well-made cards from Crane, which is the best, I think, stationery company in the world. They do beautiful stuff. But lots of great choices. They have free cards. They also have paid cards and designs. I sent you an invitation, for instance. I don't know if you have that in your email still.
Yeah,
an invitation to New Year's Eve. Oh, no, actually, I sent you an invitation to the AppCap party.
Yeah. So, I think I already deleted it. I'm sorry.
Oh, nice.
But I read it first.
Nice.
But I read
it. Now, one thing I've always been a little bit nervous about is if you're going to do it as an e-invite. By the way, what's great about this is you can design it for online. It's going to cost me a coin. Coins range in price from $1 to the more you buy, the less they cost.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they wouldn't use coins, but they do. But they also have some free stuff. So I'm going to say Twit New. I won't worry about spelling too much. Year's Eve Bash. Okay. And I'm going to send an invitation, a card, or a save the date. Now, what's nice is you can add images. I'm going to add to this an image from my own images on my iPad, or you can add images from other sources as well. So that makes it you can make it a little bit more personal, right? I can, of course, customize the text and so forth. I won't, but in this case, Clara and Archie are going to get the benefit of this fabulous card. You even can customize the envelope. And what's great is an e-invite, this envelope, and I'll show you. I actually have the email I sent you because you can send it to yourself first. And then you could put more information and so forth. And what's another nice thing is this is the guest page setting. So it kind of has some of the features of like Evite where you can keep track of who's responded and so forth. Now, I've always been kind of nervous about this kind of solution because I feel like if you're sending electronic invitations, you're giving a third party Sarah Lane's email address, and that's without your permission.
Mm.
On the other hand, I also feel like people don't send paper invitations and paper cards anymore, so you need an electronic solution. I did very carefully read the privacy policy of Paperless Post, and they say they will not. You can control it. You, Sarah Lane, as a recipient, can go into Paperless Post and say, please delete my address from your database.
All right.
And they say we will not sell or give away these addresses to any third party. So they have a good privacy policy. But do be aware that some people don't like getting Evites. On the other hand, I feel like this is kind of nowadays, we're in an email world.
We really are.
And if you don't send Evites, it's a lot of work. You can get these printed, and they have great designer cards, too.
It's funny how you're calling them Evites, even though Evite is a company.
Right.
Sort of,
electronic,
you know,
invitations.
It's, it's a good
These
way
are
to
not
describe
Evites.
Them.
These are paperless posts.
Paperless posts.
Love romance cards. Isn't this cute? So there's some really cute designs.
Oh, that's
and of course,
cute.
You'd customize this. This is obviously a tabloid report. And this is free, which is nice. So they have some good free choices as well.
I think there was a time, yeah, I don't know, maybe as recently as even 5 years ago, where an online version of an invitation maybe seemed like you cared a little less, and you know.
Now it's how
I
it
just
goes.
Do not feel. I,
and if you send, if you spend money on a Kate Spade invitation,
sure.
Even if it's electronic, it's still.
You're still,
I mean, people are going to know that you're getting a gorgeous.
Well,
invitation.
And I mean,
now let me show you. I'll go to my email and
then
show you.
You know, you don't have to worry about someone saying like, "Well, I don't want to throw away that nice invitation that you spent
right.
all this money for,
right.
but I don't really want it. I'm going to put it in a shoebox."
And this does have the online guest list. Management and all that stuff. So people can respond to your card and all of that stuff. Let me see if I can find the email I sent you. I guess it would be... let me search for paperless post. So I had them send me a copy of the card. Here it is. So this is the card that I sent Sarah Lane. It's a preview. So what happens is you click the link in your email and you're going to get this nice little preview. And see how it's animated. And this even works on an iPad. There would be other stuff here, like the addressee's name and so forth. Let's see. Maybe that part's not working. On your computer, this will work just fine. There it is. Here's the envelope. The envelope opens, and it gives you the invitation. Fine purveyors of app caps. Dearest Sarah, today's app cap will be lovely paperless. So it's fun. It just took a little while to load. That's what took so long. And it will also give you, the recipient, a chance to respond. I think these are quite nice. Paperless post. The app is free. They do have free cards that you can send electronically. And they have in-app purchases for printing cards from Crane and other companies. They've got a lot of designers in here. I mentioned Kate Spade. Really, J. Crew. Some really beautiful stuff. I think we're now finally in an era where you probably don't go to the card store, stock up on cards, handwrite them and mail them.
I sent out a bunch of paper cards that needed stamps for a baby shower recently.
It's a lot of work.
It was awful. It was not fun. The process was not fun. Wonderful woman. And you have
and
a cute
it was
baby.
Worth it.
But yeah, but I don't feel like anybody liked them.
Right.
You know, I should have just done paperless post. I think it would have saved me time and everybody would have liked them.
This is a Kate Spade design, and I feel like they have some really lovely designs and designers. It's
very easy
to use.
When
and
I get a paperless post invitation, I'm excited.
And if you like a card, you can get it printed and sent to you with the envelope and paper, and that card can include pictures of your own. So it doesn't, you know, you have a chance to kind of design. You could change the typeface and so forth. Valentine's Day is coming. Maybe you haven't written your thank you notes for the holidays yet. I think this is a lovely way to do it. Paperless post. Do be aware some are not free. I like that one. That's kind of fun. This is from Kate Spade. Hello. We welcome with love. This was a baby announcement.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, I like it.
I always am jealous of all my friends who do these clever baby announcements. Probably they're just using paperless post.
Probably.
My app cap for today.
I love it. Well, Leo, the last iPad Today of 2014 is come to a close.
Another year.
And, you know, thanks everybody for being part of the show. I mean, we started the show in July of 2010. What?
Well, the iPad came out.
That's right.
Like a month before.
Well, a few months before.
We're as old as the iPad almost.
We are. Yeah. So,
the iPad's baby sister.
It's been a good one. 2014. You know, I don't know about this year in general, but it was a fun year for the iPad, certainly in Apple. I've had quite a year, but that's neither here nor there. Haven't we all, though? Haven't we all? So the next time we see you, it's going to be 2015. So, oh my God, see you next year on iPad Today.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Oh.